Schubert's Trio in B-flat Major D28, played by the Vienna Piano Trio. That's Stefan Mendel piano, Matthias Gradler cello, and the violinist David McCarroll. And that's the end of this lunchtime concert from this year's Welsh Music Festivals. We'll be back tomorrow for a final visit to Mahuntleth with music by Corelli and Beethoven.
And that was Christopher Cook.
Death stalks the hero of Strauss's Tod und Verklärung. The memory of a young woman haunts Berg's violin concerto. A contrast to Sibelius's life-affirming Fifth Symphony. The BBC Symphony Orchestra and the conductor Zachary Oramo live in concert next Wednesday night at 7:30, and then available on the BBC Radio 3 website.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's just gone 2 o'clock and it's Thursday, which means it's opera matinee. And this afternoon, we're going to be marking the 10th anniversary of the death of the legendary Luciano Pavarotti by hearing him in an archive production from the Met of Donizetti's comic opera La Fille du Régiment. Pavarotti, of course, touched the lives of so many people. His great beaming face and larger-than-life personality seemed to be on TV screens everywhere at one point, especially around the time of the 1990 World Cup. And who could forget his impassioned Nessun Dorma? He sold millions of records, not least in the 80s as one of the three tenors. And he did seem to be as comfortable with pop stars as he was with opera divas. In fact, he really was a superstar himself, wasn't he? All of that was to come, though, because the production we're going to hear this afternoon shows him as a young tenor who was completely committed in those early days to the idea of becoming a serious opera singer and recitalist. And in this production of La Fille du Régiment, he's alongside Joan Sutherland, who he first sang with in 1965 at short notice, and that was the moment that really did set him on the road to stardom. And just 3 months after that, he was debuting at La Scala and then never really looked back. Not bad for somebody who wasn't in fact born into music. His father was a baker and his mother worked in a cigar factory. So this production from the Metropolitan Opera in New York was recorded on the 6th of January 1973, and it was conducted by Richard Bonning, who was then married to Joan Sutherland, and he was a man who played an integral part in Pavarotti's rise to fame.
He came and auditioned for me, and I was quite bowled over. It didn't take great talent to recognise his talent, and it was a great thrill, really, to hear a voice like this. It's a real tenor voice. It had real ping, real squillo, and his great thing was that he communicated so marvellously. I mean, he really communicated to the public. But I mean, he was a worker in those days. He was very biddable. He wanted to get everything right, and he would work. I mean, I remember one day we did a dress rehearsal of Sonnambula in the morning and a Traviata opening at night, and he sang both of those operas full out.
Richard Bonning, who will conduct this afternoon archive opera matinee, Donizetti's Fille du Régiment, which is the piece that earned Pavarotti the nickname King of the High Seas, because it has that aria, Ah, mes amis, quel jour de fête, which famously demands the singer reaches a top C no less than 9 times. In fact, the tenor who gave the premiere wasn't up to it at all, and that nearly led to the piece being written off as a complete disaster. Pavarotti seems to do it with ease, although actually, he trained his voice to go higher, which is even more impressive because he was naturally a baritone. So this opera is a tale of true love, first being denied and then eventually allowed to blossom between two people, Tonio, sung by Luciano Pavarotti, and Marie, sung by Joan Sutherland. And in the first act, we're going to meet Marie, who's grown up on the battlefield. She's dubbed the daughter of the regiment, and the regiment in question is the 21st of the French Army. And the top brass is Sergeant Sulpice, who's sung here by Fernando Corena. Marie falls in love with Tonio, who's saved her life, but is on the enemy's side. So Sulpice pulls rank and basically tells her that match is impossible. Tonio's answer is to switch sides, and he goes off and joins the 21st Regiment. Marie's is just to get very angry. And then meanwhile, the Marquise, who lives in the village that the regiment have arrived to defend, recognises Marie as her sister's long-lost daughter. So she forcibly removes Marie and tears her away, not just from the regiment, but from the man she loves. The Marquise is sung by soprano Regina Resnick. Her butler, Hortensius, is the bass, Andrea Velis. But all eyes in this production are on Joan Sutherland as Marie and Luciano Pavarotti as Tonio. It is, as I said, a recording from 1973, so it's in mono. But if you listen past the recording quality, the real quality, of course, is all in there. Richard Bonning conducts the Metropolitan Opera Chorus and Orchestra in Act One of Donizetti's Filles du Régiment.
Thank you. Yeah. je serai là pour vous défendre, pour vous protéger, madame.
Allons, assurez-vous s'il n'y a plus de danger. Je vous attends. Et surtout, veillez bien sur ma voiture, mon or, mes bijoux.
Oui, madame, la marquise.
Mes chers amis, je ne vous quitte pas. Non. Je vous confie mon honneur. Oh.
Sacré nom d'une pipe! Quelles jambes ont-ils ces gaillards-là? Voyez donc ces trembleurs! Mon rabot, on l'a fait, il devrait le savoir. La proclamation est plus claire que le jour. Nous protégeons les hommes quand ils vont au pas, et toutes les femmes, quand elles sont jolies.
Je marche sous la pression. Yeah. charmante, lui t'a chaud, sa tâche à même pas.
Mais monsieur, c'est de la mémoire, c'est de la mémoire, et voilà tout.
Attendez, attendez, vous n'êtes pas au bout, à mes amours, vous pouvez croire.
Thank you.
officier français.
Oh,
n'ayez pas peur. Il est fort laid. Mais très aimable.
Rien que l'habit me fait mal au nerf.
C'est madame la marquise qui demande à vous parler.
Ah, c'est madame la marquise.
Oui, oui, monsieur le capitaine.
Le capitaine. Oui, le... madame.
Voilà ce que c'est. Madame.
Silence! Madame se faisait l'honneur de me dire.
Monsieur le capitaine.
Merci, madame la marquise.
Renonçant à mon voyage, je voulais retourner dans mon château. Mais nos montagnes sont remplies de soldats et j'ai peur.
Oh, oh, oh. Vous êtes bien bonne, madame la marquise.
Alors j'ai donc pensé que les Français étant aussi galants que moi, vous ne refuserez pas de me protéger jusqu'à mon château.
À combien d'ici?
De cette montagne, on peut apercevoir les tours de Birkenfeld.
De
Birkenfeld?
Mais pardonnez-moi, madame la marquise, mais ce château, vous le nommez?
Oui, bien, du même nom que moi. Birkenfeld!
J'ai compris, oui. Mais quel rapport entre ce nom-là et celui de Robert?
Le capitaine Robert?
Vous l'avez connu?
Oh, beaucoup, monsieur! C'est-à-dire, non pas moi.
Qui?
C'était une personne de ma famille.
Aha.
C'était ma sœur. Oui, c'était ma sœur.
Ah! Et cette sœur?
Pardon. Oh, elle n'existe plus.
Oh non.
Mais de son mariage avec ce Français,
oui,
il naquit un enfant.
Une fille?
Comment savez-vous? En effet, une pauvre enfant que le capitaine m'avait confiée avant de mourir. Elle était la seule héritière de ma fortune et de mon nom.
Votre nièce?
Qui serait baronne aujourd'hui?
Perdue, abandonnée, écrasée dans la foule. Morte, la pauvre enfant.
Sauvée, madame la marquise, sauvée par nous.
Oh, monsieur, soutenez-moi.
Sauvée, vous dis-je, par de braves gens.
Vous la connaissez?
Oh, ah, ah, si je la connais.
Il est loin d'ici.
À deux pas.
Oh, monsieur, rendez-moi ma nièce, mon enfant. Conduisez-moi près d'elle. Vous avez la preuve, n'est-ce pas?
La preuve?
Ah oui.
La preuve, oui, la voilà. Une lettre que je n'ai jamais pu lire.
Un instant, monsieur.
Je vous en prie.
Cet enfant est-il digne de moi, du nom de Birkenfeld?
Oh, oh, de Birkenfeld ou de Birkenfeld. Je crois bien, morbleu.
Et oh, elle était élevée dans...
Des principes solides.
Ah.
Et non seulement, mais elle est très, très, très distinguée.
Ah.
Cette dame, mon enfant, elle dit que tu es sa nièce. Oui. Et que voilà ta tante.
Ma tante?
Sa tante.
Vous êtes ma tante? Pas possible! Sacre
bleu! Oh mon Dieu!
Je vais vous présenter mon père, le régiment tout entier.
Plus tard! Il faut l'enlever à ces gens-là.
Le plus vite possible.
Hortensius, demandez les chevaux à l'instant.
Oui, madame.
Mademoiselle Marie. Il faut que vous repreniez désormais le titre et le rang qui vous convient. Et vous allez me suivre à l'instant.
Vous suivre? Les abandonner? Mes amis?
Je le désire et au besoin, je le veux.
Et de quel droit, madame?
Oh, du droit que votre malheureux père m'a donné sur vous en mourant.
Mon père?
Lisez, cher enfant.
Oh, madame!
Allons, allons, du courage. Il le faut. Allez.
Eh ben, je partirai Mais vous venez tous avec moi, tous.
Miséricorde, un régiment.
On verra.
No, il lui j'en fais serment.
Et que moi, notre mari,
il m'aime, j'en fais serment.
Que dire, que faire, puisque la supère, il faut un bon père, ici consentir, mais que je vais jamais.
So at the end of Act One of Donizetti's La Fille du Régiment, the Marquise of Birkenfeld adopts Marie into her aristocratic family and she's whisked her off to make her into a lady, leaving the 21st Regiment of the French Army completely fed up and her lover Tonio devastated. Tonio is sung by Luciano Pavarotti and we're playing this archive recording from the Met for you this afternoon to mark the 10th anniversary of that great charismatic tenor's passing. It's a production from 1973 with Joan Sutherland in the role of Marie, Regina Resnick as the Marquise and Fernando Corinna as Sergeant Sulpice. Richard Bonning conducting the orchestra and chorus of the Metropolitan Opera, New York. So in the second and actually final act, it opens with the Marquise and her friend, the Duchess of Krakenthorpe, planning to marry off Marie to the Duchess's son. There's a gathering that they've planned for the evening when this agreement is going to be signed. Marie then turns up for a singing lesson, but Sergeant Sulpice interrupts that and he encourages her to sing a military ditty rather than the romance that she's been practising. And that leads to all kinds of hilarity, but also, of course, brings back memories for her of Tonio. A military march is heard in the distance and the regiment arrives. Tonio, Sulpice and Marie are then beautifully reunited. But later, when she's alone with Sulpice, the Marquise reveals that actually she is Marie's mother. And so by the time the guests do turn up for this evening do, she's really quite emotional. Tonio and his regimental friends gatecrash the party and Marie ends up telling them that she can never repay the kindness that they showed in bringing her up. And the Marquise is so moved by Marie's purity of heart that she suddenly agrees to her marrying Tonio. So it's a simple tale, but so vividly told through the music of Gaetano Donizetti. The Duchess of Krakenthorpe is sung by Jean Kraft, and here at the beginning of Act Two, she's scheming with the Marquise about how to marry Marie into the aristocracy.
Thank you.
mariée. Mariée à l'un des plus grands seigneurs de l'Allemagne. 150 quartiers de noblesse. Si Marie n'est pas assez heureuse avec ça...
Madame la marquise, oui. Votre vieil intendant m'a dit que vous désiriez me parler.
Approchez.
Je m'approche.
Approchez-vous, je vous le permets.
Merci, madame la marquise.
Vous êtes un brave homme, un beau soldat, Sulpice.
C'est bien de l'honneur, madame la marquise.
Marie vous écoute. Vous avez sa confiance. Mm-hmm. Vous m'avez aidé beaucoup. Elle est plus docile. Grâce à mes soins, son ton et ses manières soldatesques ont presque entièrement disparu. Et j'ai pu lui pour choisir pour époux l'un des plus grands seigneurs de la Bavière, le duc de Krakentorp.
De Kraken. Et Marie. Mademoiselle Marie.
Oh, elle a consenti.
Ah oui?
Mais pas avec cet empressement que j'aurais désiré. Sulpice, je compte sur vous pour lui donner du courage. On signe ici ce soir même le contrat qu'on verra au duc à la cour.
Une vivandière! Une duchesse!
Oh, silence! Les bonnes âmes du pays prétendent que Marie est gauche et mal élevée.
Quelle sale!
Je veux les confondre avec ses grâces, ses talents. Je veux que la voix charmante les ravisse, les transporte. Silence, la voici. Approchez, mon enfant. La romance perdue. On l'a retrouvé. C'est une chose exquise. Vénus descend.
Et mon angoisse se monte.
Que dites-vous?
Moi, rien du tout.
Thank you. Thank you. encouragée.
Je dois admettre, madame la marquise, c'est un peu gaillard pour la circonstance.
Aujourd'hui surtout.
Ah oui.
Que je réunis les plus nobles têtes du pays, les têtes égales à la mienne. Soyez raisonnable, mon enfant. Venez, embrassez-moi. Tenez-vous droite. Levez la tête. Levez la tête. Là, comme ça. Quelle jolie duchesse, ça m'a fera.
Enfant.
Sulpice, venez avec moi.
Mais, monsieur.
Charmante. Se deve
C'est bien de l'honneur, madame la marquise.
Vous savez, la haute noblesse de ma famille et son désir de me faire faire un mariage digne de mon nom m'avaient condamné au célibat. J'avais 30 ans et quoique belle alors, j'étais libre encore.
Oh, pauvre fille, mon Dieu.
Le capitaine Robert m'avait vu et mes faibles attraits, nous étions... tous les deux coupables.
On dit qu'il était plutôt...
Oh, charmant.
Charmant.
Je l'aimais, mais son départ nous sépara à Genève.
À Genève?
Où je l'avais suivi en secret. Quelque temps après, je vins l'attendre dans ce château. Mais j'y revins seul, sans elle.
Sans elle qui?
Ma fille.
Marie?
Oui, ma fille! Oh, dont il fallait cacher la naissance au risque de me perdre!
Mais j'y suis à présent! À vous, le capitaine Robert! Ah, la marquise!
Oui, comprenez-vous maintenant?
Oh, bien sûr!
Pourquoi je tremble que mon secret n'éclate à tous les yeux? Comprenez-vous aussi que j'adore Marie.
Monsieur.
Et comment l'enlever? Ce serait m'arracher la vie.
Mais on ne vous l'enlèvera pas, madame la marquise. On ne vous l'enlèvera pas.
Ce mariage sauve tout. Il donne un nom, un rang à Marie. Et me permet de lui assurer toute ma fortune. Décidez Marie à le faire. Et j'aurai pour vous... une éternelle reconnaissance.
Comptez sur moi, madame la marquise. Un cœur de soldat, ça ne trompe pas, ça ne trahit jamais.
Madame la marquise, la société commence à venir et le notaire attend déjà dans la bibliothèque.
Oh, quel moment!
Dans la bibliothèque?
Bibliothèque.
Il fallait le mettre dans le salon.
Avec quelle impatience nous vous attendions, ma nièce et moi.
Ah, bonjour, madame la marquise.
J'aurai l'honneur de me présenter tout à l'heure.
Mais votre nièce n'était point ici.
Oh, elle va venir. Cette toilette qu'elle finit. Elle a tant à cœur de plaire à madame la duchesse.
Tout le monde est-il présent?
Oui, oui, tout le monde. Excepté la future. On ne se conduit pas ainsi. Avec la première noblesse du pays.
Oh, je ressens.
Oh,
And there, everybody bursting into the reprise of Salut à la France, celebrating the union of Tonio and Marie. Tonio, sung by Luciano Pavarotti, one of the great operatic voices of his generation, who passed away 10 years ago. And Marie, sung by his great operatic partner, Joan Sutherland. Two singers so well matched in their empathy and expressiveness. And there they were on stage at the Met in New York back in 1973. The Marquise of Birkenfeld was sung by Regina Resnick. Fernando Carena was the Sergeant Sulpice. Hortensius was sung by bass Andrea Velis. The Duchess of Crackenthorpe was Jean Kraft. And then the role of peasant was sung by tenor Charles Kusner and corporal by Andriy Dobryansky. The Metropolitan Opera, Chorus and Orchestra was conducted by Richard Bonning, and that was La Fille du Régiment by Gaetano Donizetti. Well, there'll be more opera on Radio 3 on Saturday night. Opera on 3 giving us a rare chance to hear a work by Cavalli called Ypermestre, which was a Baroque gem of a work, which was staged this year at Glyndebourne by the Orchestra of the Age of Enlightenment with William Christie. So do tune in for that. That's at 6:30 on Saturday. This is BBC Radio 3. It's 5 to 4. In Tune's going to be along at 4:30. They're having a bit of an opera focus too. Amongst Sean's guests today are Welsh National Opera director David Pountney, and then also members of English Touring Opera are going to be performing live, as will the pianist Daniel Grimwood. So In Tune coming up in about half an hour's time. But just to take us there, here now are, is, the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra with their feet firmly on home territory in music by Eric Chisholm, who's often dubbed Scotland's forgotten composer. The BBC Scottish have been busy redressing that in recent years. And here is a studio recording they made last year of his violin concerto. It's one of Chisholm's so-called Hindustani works. So it has something of the mystical about it, and it's strongly influenced by Indian classical music. It's a demanding piece for a soloist, but here's someone who can do it justice. Violinist Matthew Trusler with Martin Brabbins conducting the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, it's a good job the BBC Scottish Symphony are bringing Chisholm's music to light, judging by that piece, the Violin Concerto, written by Eric Chisholm in 1950 and recorded there by Matthew Trussler with the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Martin Brabbins. And tomorrow afternoon, we'll have more from the BBC Scottish, a dazzling concert of favourites, including Rachmaninoff's Second Piano Concerto and Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade.
Fair to see, but much I doubt if she love me. Oh, woe's the day! Full many a weary mile I ride to find my home at her dear side. But when I ask her for my bride, she says me nay. Dress myself in all my best, with gold-laced hat, with crimson vest, and buckle shoe. She looks me scornful up and down, her face grows dark with frown on frown. Yet I'm no treacherous spark from town, nor common loon. Smiling look into her eyes, the answering glance my art defies, and chills me through. It says more plain than words can speak, though all the winds of life be bleak, that blow on woman frail and weak. I wed not you. I love a lass, that's fair to see, but much I doubt if she love me. Oh, woe's the day.
Just a final Scottish moment to send us on our way this afternoon. Stephen Gadd with I Love a Lass from Hamish McGann's opera Jeannie Deans. I'm Verity Sharp, back with more from the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra tomorrow afternoon from 2.
Sir Simon Rattle's homecoming celebrations with the London Symphony Orchestra culminate in a concert of Stravinsky's revolutionary early ballets, all three of them in a single thrilling, virtuosic and explosive evening. They perform The Firebird, Petrushka, and The Rite of Spring. Rattle at Radio 3 continues this evening at 7:30. Live on BBC Radio 3.
This is Radio 3, it's 4:30. Time for In Tune with Sean Rafferty.
It is, and a very good afternoon to you. Daniel Groomwood salutes the inventor of the nocturne and plays some John Field, among other things as well. David Poutney on operatic priorities, and members of English touring opera sing music from Handel's Giulio Cesare.